Yeah, I want to read in John chapter 11 today. It's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. And we talked last week about the mystery of the resurrection. And we are talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we have lots of mysteries. We listed a lot of things on the board here last week of what these mysteries are. But I thought we need to take another look at resurrection. Okay? Because it's still a mystery to us, and it's a miracle. A miracle how something or someone can die and come back again. Because you know the story of Adam and Eve, when the Lord said to Eve and Adam, of course, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you shall surely die. And Satan came in and lied to her and said, no, you will not die. But his lie was a partial truth. In other words, I hate to use the word right, he was factually correct. You will not die this instant. But in fact, she did die that instant spiritually, but she did not die physically that instant. But in the course of time, she did die. I mean, okay, so she lived 1,000 years or nearly that. I don't think anybody made 1,000. Even Methuselah, it didn't quite make 1,000. Adam lived 900 and some years, so we believe that Eve probably did too. Anyway, death did happen. Now, this thing about the resurrection, let me just begin to read here, okay? Chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Amen? It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Of all the people that lived in and around the region that Jesus ministered, I guess there is no other family that we really know more about than the family of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And yet, they're kind of an unusual family. It's not a mother and father and children. It's two sisters and a brother that lived together. I don't know whether there were other brothers and sisters in this household that went off on their own and married. Have you ever known a family like that?
Not these days.
Yes. I had a family like that. Two aunts and an uncle. They were my father's, two of my father's sisters. One of them was quite an older sister. I think she was probably dad was the oldest one. There were about nine in the family. They used to be 9 and 10 in those days. I think about that in mom's family too. And of course that was, they were born in 1902 and 1906. But it was a long time ago. But these are the ones, these two sisters never married. Aunt Rose had a little bit of a physical disability. She had hip dysplasia. I think she was born with it. And she kind of always walked, with kind of a limp in her leg. And she didn't marry. A young man apparently did not want to take on a woman with a little bit like that. And then, of course, there was Aunt Esther, who was younger than her. Aunt Esther was quite attractive, I thought. And somebody one time said, well, she had a man interested in her from Canada one time, but I don't know what happened. And then there was Simon. I think he was probably the youngest. No, not quite the youngest. Next to the youngest of the brothers. And they all lived together in a little house. In fact, the house that they lived in is right across the street in Lowville from where my brother Paul lives today. And we used to go there. In fact, I think Grandpa and Grandma lived there one time with them. I remember as a very, very little boy climbing up on his... I must have been about 2 years old. I have this memory. He had a little beard. I remember reaching up and grabbing hold of it when I was quite little. And of course, there were always hands to move my hands and put them where they belonged. But yeah, they lived together. And it was a perfectly normal situation. People did that in those days. You know, brothers and sisters. Anne of Green Gables. Do you remember the Anne of Green Gables? It was a brother and sister that lived together in their adulthood. And this little Annie of Green Gables came to live with this brother and sister. So here's a brother and sister and two sisters and a brother. And it's, you know, we find that Jesus really loved these people. We don't know much about Jesus' life aside from his ministry. We know quite a bit about his disciples. Maybe we don't know a whole lot about some of the disciples. But we really don't know much about... And the other thing we know about, particularly about Mary, we know personality difference between Mary and Martha, for instance. You remember the story? Jesus was at their house again. And Martha wanted to put on a good meal and have everything just right. And Jesus was out there sitting somewhere else, not in the kitchen apparently, and was just sitting at his feet. And what did I say?
You said Jesus was just sitting at her feet.
I got it the wrong way around. Okay, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And there was something about Mary. Okay, she was different than her sister Martha. How do I say this? What do you know about Mary that was different than Martha?
Martha was busy in the kitchen.
Martha was a busy one, yes.
Mary just stayed present.
Yes. Yeah, Mary liked the presence of the Lord. And somehow Mary was able to overlook the task, the job, and she had a priority of what a woman ought to do. Her priorities were a little different than Martha's. And sometimes they got steamed at one, or Martha at least, we know, got steamed up a little bit about her sister not helping her. So, yeah, I can imagine, I mean, with all these disciples there, and whoever else was there, I'm sure Martha had a big job, whatever she was cooking. But and then we find another thing about Mary, is that there came a time when she broke up the alabaster box and poured the ointment on Jesus' feet. And it was worth something. So in other words, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, the home that they were in, they were not in abject poverty, okay? They had a normal home, as far as I can see. There was, apparently, they were able to put aside a little bit of savings, at least to buy this alabaster box. I don't know why she bought it. They must have had some kind of an income or a source of it, or maybe an inheritance from their parents. And the other thing is, they had a tomb. They had a real tomb cut in the rock. And I have the impression that not everybody had one of those. Okay, I think you had to kind of have a little bit of some worth in order to afford to have such a burial place for your family. Who knows what all was in that tomb? Maybe the parents were in that tomb. And maybe this is why Jesus didn't just call to the tomb and say, come out. Maybe they would have all come out. But he was focusing on Lazarus himself. So, that being said, it said it was that Mary, okay. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And here again is the word love. He whom thou lovest is sick. And obviously they didn't have to say any more than that. The word came, she sent to him. All right, this is before cell phones and telephones and anything else like that. She sent a messenger. Somebody, I'm amazed at how communication got around in those days. But you know, it went pretty fast, as far as I can tell. They didn't need television. They didn't need CNN. They didn't need Fox News. They didn't need anything. Something happened, and the word spread throughout the whole place as fast as it happened. I believe that people knew what was happening in Jerusalem. I believe that everybody knew about the trial of Jesus. I believe they knew about the arrest. I believe the whole nation knew about it. And for Mary or Martha to send and say, listen, get word to him. And there would be a young man about like your age. He'd say, listen, I know where he's at. I'm running over there. I'm going to run right over there. Might have been 20 miles. Somebody got over there and got the word to him. Amen? Now, how long it took this particular message, it says, therefore his sister sent, okay? Whom thou lovest is sick. Once again, we see that Jesus loved this family. Jesus loved this man. I don't know much about Lazarus. I think I know more about Mary and Martha than we do about Lazarus. He seemed to be the quiet one, Mr. Cuthbert in the Anne of Green Gables. What was his name? Matthew. Yeah, there you go. Matthew was the quiet one. You know, she was the one that did all the speaking, and Matthew just kind of held his tongue most of the time. Lazarus might have been a quieter man, but Jesus loved him. Do you know there's people that Jesus really loves, I believe? I believe that. Remember that movie? Do you all have that little movie of, what was it, The Encounter? Remember the one, what was the name of that movie? Where these people stopped at this last chance diner. And Jesus revealed to this man, he was a real hard nut to crack. And Jesus told him about his grandmother. And he said, you know, okay, this is a movie. But I believe there's a reality of people that Jesus really loves. This man, but this was Jesus behind the counter, waiting on these people that were in this last chance diner, this little trailer that disappeared as soon as they left. It's an interesting little movie. I like to watch it, you know, every once in a while, get it out, put it on. And if you want to borrow it, you can ask me, and I'll loan it to you for a while. But Jesus told this man, I really loved your grandmother. She was a woman who really loved me, and I loved her so much. This is, you know, Jesus loves this kind of thing out of people. He knows there are people who just love to worship him, and he has a special love for them. Amen? Okay, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Amen. This sickness is not unto death. You know, there is sickness that is unto death. I was thinking about that the other day. How do people die? Some people just plain die. Just like that. It seems they didn't have a sickness. Sister Janet, she died that way. Just gone one day. And yet, you know, I think of Brother DeSeal. He just died. They found him the next morning. I guess he was kneeling by his bed. David Livingston. He was found in a little hut in somewhere in Africa, kneeling by his bed. They found him there the next morning. Now, he was sick, though. He had malaria. Okay? So, how do people die? Well, sometimes people get cancer or some other thing like that. And it goes on and on and on, and they're not healed, they're not cured. And it just keeps getting worse and worse, and you begin to think, this sickness is probably unto death. It's going to take. If I had it, I would be saying, Lord, it looks like I'm not going to be here much longer. Is this your way of telling me to get things in order? But for Lazarus, Jesus said, no, this sickness is not unto death. This is not for his death. Now, the funny thing is, he did die. But God is never wrong, is he? If God said this is not unto death, then he meant it's not going to be finished with death. Okay? So, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In other words, it's for the glory of Jesus. Where else did he make a statement like that? Why was this man born blind? Remember that?
Yeah.
Who sinned? Did this man sin, or did his parents? Can you imagine a fetus sinning? How can a fetus sin? Fetus doesn't. He's not even aware that he's a being. You know. But Jesus said, "No, that isn't the cause. The cause is that the glory of God might be manifest in the healing of this one."
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now here's verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is, you find this woven into this chapter everywhere. Whoever is writing this knew that Jesus had a special love for this little family. Amen? When he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So now the word got to him. The messengers, the runners, the people that were passing the word on from mouth to mouth that found him. It might have taken a day or two for the message to get to him. But he stayed 2 more days where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." So they were not in Judea, but they're going. Now his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" I find it interesting, don't you, the way the word "the Jews" is used in the Bible. Now, Jesus is a Jew. The disciples are all Jews. And yet they are referring to these people who wanted to kill him as the Jews. Yeah, so now we're going to find another expression here of the Jews, but it doesn't refer to the same Jews. Okay? So I'm finding this very interesting as we go through. The Jews sought to stone thee. Now you go back into chapter 10 and you read the story. First of all, chapter 10 is where Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." He says, "I am the good shepherd." Amen? He's saying the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And by the way, I came upon this as I'm reading, looking back at chapter 10. He says, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So he's saying right here, he's talking that he's going to give his life for the sheep. The little story you were giving about the mother that gave her life for the unborn child. All right. Now, he's comparing the good shepherd. We can just wander around here a little bit, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
With the word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's comparing the good shepherd with a hireling. He says, the hireling, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd. So there's a difference between the hireling and the shepherd. Now, if you want to interchange the word pastor with shepherd, okay, I don't like the interchange of the word, because the word pastor is not really the same word as shepherd. Why? Because I think a lot of those who hold the title of pastor probably have the mindset of hireling. Not all, but there are some who have the mindset of a shepherd as well. So, what is the difference? The hireling is motivated for what? For hire. Okay, I'm here to do my job because I get paid to do my job. The shepherd is not motivated by the hire. The shepherd is motivated by the love for the sheep. And this is what Jesus, in this next chapter, continue the word that he loved this family. These people loved him. This Mary loved him. Mary gave everything she could possibly think to give. She gave the most expensive thing. You say, well, she wasted it. Why didn't she do something else with it? You know, that's what her critics said. No, she gave it because it was him, and there was no other way that she was ever going to do it. I believe she knew he was going to be taken from her. Jesus said, she did it for my burial. All right? Mary had to have known something. Mary had to have known something that Martha didn't know. Mary had to have known something that Lazarus probably didn't know. All right? So, that's interesting here. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Amen? I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now listen, verse 16. What does this mean? And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold.
Bringing in others than the Jewish nation.
There you go.
What?
Bringing in Gentiles.
Right.
He said, they're going to be my sheep too.
The Goyish.
The what?
I'm just kidding. My flavor.
You're using a Hebrew word on me now.
It's Yiddish. It's German and Hebrew mixed together.
Oh, well, that's a good mixture.
The flavor of the culture.
Yes, okay. Those others. Amen. Yeah. All right. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hello.
Amen.
Denominations, breaking up the body of Christ, that's not the way of the Lord. But you know what? In the end, the kingdom of God, there will be one shepherd and one fold. Amen. And this is what we're preaching. One shepherd, one fold. Okay? I can't be part of these other folds. I can't. Because they've got another agenda. All right? Just for what it's worth. All right. Now, so they wanted to stone him. Okay? And they accused him of blasphemy. So this is what the disciples were saying. You want to go back there? They were picking up stones. What he did, they picked up stones, and he said to them, here's verse 32. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? What are you trying to stone me for? And the Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And what happened is, he just walked through the midst of them again. They're carrying their stones. They ready to kill him. And he just, bye, I'm out of here. Walked right out. They didn't know where he went. Isn't that amazing what God can do? Did I tell you about our brother Jamel in Ethiopia? Did I tell you that? Or didn't I know it last week? You know that we have two brothers that are working with the sheep that we have, not we have, the Lord has, that we work with in Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa. Brother Jamel. He was born a Muslim, gave him that name Jamal. He's kept it. What a shepherd! What a loving man he is. I mean, oh, he just loves to preach. When he's translating for me, I translate a little bit. And there's Jamal. I mean, I say one sentence and he's saying, he's going on five or six. I said, wow, Jamal, did I say all that? I mean, he just loves to preach. Well, you know what? He was walking on the streets somewhere in Addis Ababa, and a van pulled up, slide the door open, they jumped out and grabbed him and kidnapped him, pulled him right into the van. And these thugs proceeded to try to rob him. They were pulling his, I guess he has a wedding ring, pulled that off, pulled his wallet out, began to plunder him. I don't know whether they'd taken his clothes or whatever. They were going to rob him. And you know what? He started to pray and rebuke the devil and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And he just started praying out loud. Lord Jesus, I plead the blood. I mean, you got to know Jamel. He can really say it. He can really preach. Just a little bit of a guy. I mean, he's not a big guy at all. And you know what? They said, oh, no. Gave him back his stuff, threw him out of the van. Stopped the van, threw him out. Well, he was way out of town somewhere. He didn't know where he was. But he found his way back home.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm gonna write him and tell him, Jamel, you've gotta write that up.
Wow.
I tell you what, listen, we need to know this. This is not, you say, well, this is the end times. This is hey, we're not quite to Revelation 11 yet, but these men could not do him harm. Now, they didn't die. God didn't strike them dead, but they were not able to harm him.
Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you.
I don't know where it came to me. George was telling me, Bert was telling me, but I'd heard it before then. I think Jim might have heard it, but I don't know how he heard it. Anyway, okay, getting back to Lazarus. We gotta get Lazarus resurrected here. Amen. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still. Did we read that? Then after he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea. Okay, they said, why are you going? The Jews want to stone you. Verse 9. Jesus answered, here it is. Are there not 12 hours in the day? That means daylight. Okay, 12 hours day, 12 hours night. Yes, in the Mideast, in these areas toward the equator, the sun rises at 6, the sun sets at 6. It's pretty consistent. It doesn't vary very much. Huh? Are there not 12 hours? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. What is he saying? Who is the light of this world?
The Lord Jesus
Christ. Amen. If you walk in Christ, you're not going to be stumbling. Amen. So in answer to your question, why will I go back to Judea? They want to kill me. I'm walking in the day. They can't touch me unless I allow it. Now I know that's Jesus. You say, well, that was him. I've heard people say, well, I'm not Jesus. I remember years ago, 30, 40 years ago, talking to somebody about, Apostle Paul said, well, I'm not Paul. I can't do that. You know? Well, come on. These are examples given for us to have faith. Okay? But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. In other words, he's walking in darkness. If you're going to walk in darkness, spiritual darkness now is what we're talking about. Not just the natural night, but he's using the natural light and the dark to give an example. All right? These things that he, after that he said, our friend Lazarus sleepest, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. What kind of sleep is he talking about? See, now the disciples are hearing him on a natural level again. So, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He's getting a good rest. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Okay? Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, what is this? How is it that the Lord can speak this way? First of all, he says this is not unto death. Then he says the man is sleeping. Then he says, no, he's dead. Can you understand why they would be confused if their mind is in the natural carnal realm, as I'm sure it was at this time? They didn't have any idea what he's talking about, okay? And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. All right, Lazarus is dead. Let's go to Lazarus. Now listen to Thomas. Listen to Thomas. By the way, he was called the twin. Wonder why they called him that. Do you ever wonder these things? Why was he called the twin? Did he have a twin brother or something? If he had a twin brother, how come it was only the one twin that followed Jesus? Where was the other one? Just interesting things. You know what? We're going to have to ask a lot of questions when we see them. And we will. Yes, we will. The mystery of resurrection. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, that means the twin, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Oh my goodness. All right, we're all going off to die. Boy, I'm glad Thomas wasn't in Jim Jones' group. Let us all go and die with Lazarus. It's time. No, it's only Jesus that's going to die. Thomas, you're going to have to live for a while yet. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. You know, there were no morticians in those days that filled your blood with formaldehyde. What do they fill it with anyway? I don't know. My nephew Sven is a mortician. I thought he said they put something like formaldehyde in. Anyway, it preserves you so that you don't, smell bad. I mean, we have funerals. People lay in that casket for 2 or 3 days before the funeral, you know? And it's summertime. Why? Because they've been preserved. Now, they didn't have that. Lazarus was in this grave. You know, and when somebody died, they buried them immediately. Did you notice that in the Bible? Remember Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't ask your permission. They didn't ask the next of kin's permission. Did you notice that in Ananias and Sapphira in Acts? Remember them? How they lied to Peter about what they'd given? It wasn't that they had to give or didn't have to give. They just plain lied about it. And it was Ananias first. And Peter asked him, did thus and thus? Yes. Drops dead. Immediately said the young man came in, picked him right up, took him right out to the grave somewhere. Sapphira comes in a little while later. Sapphira, we got to ask you, what was the deal on this land that you sold and you gave, to the fellowship? Oh, yes, such and such. Peter says, well, listen, the feet of the young men that just carried your husband off and buried him, they're here to carry you off too. My, what kind of a word was this? You know, I find that some of these examples of things that happened like this, like the first time something like this happens in the people of God, God deals very harshly with it. First time a man picked up sticks, you know, had him stoned. First time a man stole from the Achan, had him stoned. Now, this might have been the first time that people in the church, quote-unquote, lied against the Holy Ghost. Now, people are doing it all the time today. And they're not being carried out instantly and buried. But what God is saying is, here's the example, don't do it. Because I made an example the first time. If I make an example, every time it happens, half the people are going to be dead. But I gave you an example. I told you how I feel about it. All right? All right, so he's been in the grave. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, 15 furlongs. That means almost 2 miles. So Jesus is now 2 miles away, all right? Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. There's the other use of the term, the Jews. But these are different. Different Jews, yeah. These are Jews that are friends of Mary and Martha and Lazarus who had come to comfort them. Why don't they just say the people that came? But they're identifying. They specifically want us to know that they were of Hebrew relatives and friends of Martha and Mary. Okay? Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is that true or is it not true?
No.
Yes, it is true. Yes. That's why he waited two more days, because he knew that if he came and found Lazarus sick and almost dying, that Lazarus would have been raised up. Why? Why would it have happened?
Because
there you go. Because he is the resurrection. You want resurrection? Just get Jesus to show up. You got a problem? Just get the real Jesus to show up.
Wow.
Amen. Wow. Man, you know, I want to tell you, I think that's why I'm alive today. I think that Jesus showed up when I had that heart attack. I know he did. I saw his face. And he was speaking to me on the way to the hospital. Now, if he hadn't, see, I didn't know it then. I didn't know it. I'm beginning to realize things now that I didn't realize 13 and a half, 14 years ago. I didn't realize it. So, yes, if he had been here, he wouldn't have died. Amen? But I know, listen to Martha's faith, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. See, this is why he loved Mary and Martha. They had a faith like that. They knew who he was. Amen? Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, they had that knowledge. They had that knowing. These people, the people of God, had a knowing that death was not the end. It wasn't like a dog that dies, a cat, a mouse, a cow, whatever. That's it. You know, make hamburger out of the old cow and that's the end of her. No, that's not. They knew that there was something different for me. How do I know? Listen, can I go back into Job and I want to read you what Job said. This is Job 19. Job is probably the oldest writing. Job was probably written before Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It was probably, they think it was very, very old. We don't know where Job probably lived, who knows, sometime after Noah, okay? But before Moses. All right, here's what Job says. Verse 25. Amen. Oh, I got to read verse 24. 23. Oh my. Verse 22. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. He knew something about a book and writing. And they were. But they weren't when he said it. Amen? That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He knew that. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Amen. Job, the people of God, Job wasn't even a Jewish person. It was before Jewish, before Abraham. And then the Hebrew people, they had a knowing because they were the people of God. They knew that death was not the end. And Job knew that there was a Redeemer coming to redeem humanity out of the condition of dying.
Hallelujah.
Skin worms eating his flesh. He knew it was going to happen to his flesh one day. Amen. So Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise and the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Hallelujah.
When Jesus said you shall never die, what did he mean? He meant that you will never die spiritually. Your soul will never be annihilated. You know what? When my flesh was dying, my soul was not dying. Because I heard the voice of God. In my mind, when they asked me my name, I didn't know my name. What's your birthday? Oh my, I had to think, why are you bothering me with these things? You know? But I'm hearing the voice of the Lord. I'm hearing, yea, though I walk, you know, through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall... I'm hearing, and I'm saying, but my soul is still alive. The voice of the Lord is still speaking to me. When Jesus said, you shall not die, he meant your soul will not die. And it's going to be your choice where you're going to park that soul. Are you going to follow him, the resurrection and the life? Amen. Or are you going to follow the way of death? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. Listen to this. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. In other words, she said, you're the Messiah.
Amen.
Now, she didn't say, he didn't say to Martha, blessed art thou, Martha, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you. No, like he did to Peter. She said the same thing that Peter said. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and called for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met. This is 2 miles away. It's going to take you a little while to get there. How fast do you walk a mile, Rita? We figured it out. 20 minutes, isn't it? A mile? Yeah. Yeah, 20. No, you don't do it in 10.
You're, it,
oh, 15 to 20. Yeah, if you're really walking fast. So it's going to take you about 3/4 of an hour to get there. All right.
It appears that that furlong is about an 8 mile.
Yeah, but when you figure, when you add them up, 15 furlongs, 16 furlongs would be 2 miles. Okay? Now the Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out following her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. In other words, she's going to be overcome with her emotion. She's just going to have to cry, and how she loved her brother. You know, I believe that Lazarus must have been such a good brother. He must have been such a wonderful brother to these sisters. Maybe he's the one that supported them, you know. Maybe he had a job. Maybe he had a business, you know. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She knew the same thing that her sister knew. If you'd have been here. And notice this. I don't think it says that Martha fell at his feet. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that Martha fell at his feet. It says that about Mary. Mary had something different about her. She saw his lordship in a way that her sister didn't. And yet they both had the same confession. Thou art, you know, amen? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, apparently the whole group of them came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Now, by now, I guess he's come to the grave. And he said, where have ye laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Did they ever ask you in Sunday school to memorize one verse? Okay, I'll do that one. It's the shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. Now, why did Jesus weep? Did Jesus weep because he missed Lazarus and he knew that he'd lost him?
No.
No, why? Why did he weep?
Maybe because they believed he could heal them when he was sick, but they didn't
Yeah, he can raise the sick, but he can't raise the dead. In other words, there's a limit to what God can do. Do you believe there's limits to what God can do?
Well, he made the universe, no.
Yeah, he made the universe. Man, when you begin to get an idea how massive that universe is.
Sorry, I have to say, I feel recording this show.
We're almost done. Yeah, we're almost done. Okay. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. No, yes, he loved him, but that isn't why he's crying. Amen? And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?
He groaned in his spirit.
And he groaned again within himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave with a stone upon the... And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Why do you want to remove that stone? First she said, I believe that he will raise again on the last day. I believe that God will do anything you ask him to do. But now she's what? Having some doubts? The natural senses tell you that this is irreversible. His flesh is rotting. Worms are undoubtedly eating away. I mean, this is nasty. This is gross. And the natural signs. See, and we got to remember this when we ask for healing too. The natural signs are going to assault our senses. It can't be done. You know, I think we had a miracle out there in Dubuque. Remember? You weren't there. Brother Mark Gigrick, we were in a break between the meetings, and he came up to me, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he looked me in the eye, and he went, ah, ah, ah. And I said, Mark, are you joking with me? What are you doing that for? I thought he was putting me on. And I don't know why I would think he would do that, but he shook his head. Oh, and Brother Jim came up right then too. And I said, oh my goodness. Jim said, oh my goodness, he's got something. And I just, in a flash of a second, we grabbed him. And I said, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, loose him. And all of a sudden, he could breathe again.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I asked him, is there something caught in your throat? And he shook his head like this, no. And then it was just a flash. We never even thought of what we were doing. Like, oh, we got to, oh, how will we do? No, it was just instantaneous. And in that instant, I believe God moved. I don't know what the, did he ever figure out what the problem was? I don't know either, but I thought later, wow, this was a miracle. And we didn't even have time to think about it. We didn't have time to doubt. We didn't have time to diagnose it or anything else. Just, and the Lord released whatever it was. And Mark said, I have never had anything like that. I'm not prone to asthma, to this kind of thing. I've never, ever been prone to this kind of thing. Never has it happened. Amen. All right, so, boy, the time is going. Anyway, Jesus, they rolled the stone away. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said, and they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Amen. It's probably good that Jesus identified Lazarus, come forth. I believe there were probably others that were buried nearby too. If he had just said, come forth, Well, you know, the graves were opened up after the resurrection of Jesus. The graves in Jerusalem were opened up. Now, Lazarus had to die again, okay? We know that. Lazarus was not raised in the spiritual body that Jesus had after his resurrection. Jesus was the first fruits, okay, not Lazarus. Lazarus could not be the first fruits. There were others that Jesus raised. There was the little girl, you know, Talitha Kumi, that Jesus said, taught to the little girl. She was dead. The centurion's servant. We can think of others. You know, there were others. But there was no others that were dead, rotting, and stinking 4 days. The others had died quite, you know, within an hour or whatever. But this was different. And Jesus did it purposely before his own death so that people would believe. It says in verse, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. This is the final thing. This is the most difficult, you would say. Well, okay, yeah, he can heal the flu and he can heal the cold and, you know, infection and what have you, but can he really bring you back after your body is rotting and stinking and all that? Yes, he can. And he's going to. And when there is no flesh left on the bones, he's going to bring those bones back together. Amen. And they're going to stand. Amen. And the flesh is going to come again on the bones. Now we're speaking spiritually as well. The scattered bones of the people of God. Amen. The death of God's people, dead, not functioning in the things of, loose him, unbind him. Amen. Let the sons of God be loosed and free, I believe is what Jesus is saying. Now, you see, people are going to go two ways with this. And I'll just finish with that. Some of them went their way. See, many believed, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Why? Why?
Something's wrong with their heart.
Why were they doing that? Yeah. Okay. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." This is the city of religion. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. We're going to lose our temple. We're going to lose our organization. We're going to lose our... I mean, we got a thing going here. You know, it's a political thing that they had going. We're going to lose it all. This man, they acknowledge they cannot raise from the dead. They had to see, they had to make a purposeful, rebellious decision that they will not believe. And this is the ones that Jesus was mainly referring to when he said, and the Jews, the unbelieving ones. And I'll just finish. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all." He's calling them idiots. "Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation." Now, I looked up what is the chapter in Isaiah that talks about the dying of the Messiah.
Isaiah 53.
Yeah, I looked it up. I couldn't remember the number. 53. I looked that up. And it is just amazing what this beautiful prophet had to say. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows Amen. Acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Basically, if you go on and read what Isaiah, in verse 7, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. Isaiah was prophesying the very thing, and this high priest, since he wasn't really even speaking of himself. But I don't believe that priest was necessarily trying to quote Isaiah either. But the principle was that one would die for others. And there, that's the principle again. He died that others could live. And we're talking about resurrection. Like I said, Lazarus had to raise, he had to die again and will raise again. But in his soul, Lazarus is not in a grave. Amen? He's with the Lord today. Amen. God bless you.